And open the work session on Senate Bill 5501.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have in front of you a mini version of the memo that was I handed out yesterday. It's dated June 3 of 2003. This contains just the changes or the adjustments that you did not resolve yesterday. These are what remain to be resolved. And it begins in the food safety program with item F, number two, food safety item F, which is the package 091-51, House Bill 5100 cut in section 2, and restoring that reduction, which would add back for predator control $419,245 general fund. You also should have at your place some information that was handed out during the public hearing by Mr. Kosasan on historic funding levels for the wildlife damage control and where those funds come from. And you can see that there are federal dollars that come into the program. Department of Agriculture includes some amounts for predators. ODF&W includes some amount, I believe, for game. Then there's counties also contribute, and individuals contribute for the total. What you don't see here is the 0305 amount. And my understanding, again, is that the co-chair's budget included an add back of the reduction taken in package 091 from the cuts in 5100, which were the cuts made in section 2 that were across the board cuts due to the failure of the tax measure.
Mr. Chair, I just have a question of staff. What do I
make in here? In the spreadsheet that was handed out yesterday, it would be on page 11 of 25, under Food Safety, Package 091, House Bill 5100, Section 2. And you will see that the net LFO recommended budget reduction amount would now be a general fund reduction of $507,700. And then you'll see the LFO adjustment budget. Nope, you're in the right place. Package 091. And the first column is the governor's recommended budget. The governor's recommended budget included a reduction of $926,945. LFO is adding back in the next column $419,245 for a net reduction in that package as a consequence of the failure of Measure 28, I believe it was. General fund reduction of $507,700.
Mr. Chair, if I could. So the governor reduced it and LFO added back, and now we're talking about adding back more.
Actually, Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, the middle column just shows the change amount. So what would actually be showing up in the Orbit system as a reduction in package 091 would be the general fund reduction of $507,000. And that is $419,000 less than what was in the governor's budget as a reduction. The governor's budget had a higher reduction. LFO is backing off that reduction. The net effect is to add general fund.
Right.
Because we are taking less general fund.
And so we're at a reduction of $507,000 now. And this would replace some of that replaces nearly all of that.
It replaces all of it. $419,245. That again just is the general fund. There are still reductions that are left in the package. The subcommittee LFO is not recommending any change to the cuts from fund shifting. A portion of a lab position and a district veterinary position and 18 packaged product positions to other funds. So this doesn't change that part of the package. Those reductions would remain. The only part that's being changed would be eliminating the the cut to predator control program.
If I could, Mr. Chair, I tend to relate this package to bears eating bark, but it's broader than that. And I just, if you could remind me of how much broader it is.
Actually, Senator Dukes, this does not replenish the 75,000 that Representative Krieger had last year. This is totally separate from that.
This is not bears eating bark?
Okay. Oh, no.
I guess it.
It is.
It
is all of the coyotes, sheep, beaver, skunks that they do in towns and the whole other.
Skunks?
They actually do remove wild animals in towns that are a nuisance. They do a lot of work for.
We just wrap them. How much is Vermont?
Well, that's a minor part of it, but they.
We've had a family.
They do. I know they do a lot of beaver for ODOT as well as other folks that have trouble getting it.
ODOT ought to be able to pay for those.
But other types of predators. And, both forestry and agriculture.
Okay, and this is limited to predators, the animals that would be considered predators, like coyotes, and it's mostly to support efforts to reduce predation of cattle and sheep, is my understanding.
Could we have the department come forward and give us the scope of the program?
Could you come up, Kitty, and...
As the director's coming forward, the one thing that has at various times been included in this class, but it doesn't sound like it is now, is geese. Are they in or out?
That is one of the species that is, they do make efforts in this program to control. If it comes from this specific funding, that I'm not as clear of, but I know that the program does make those.
Mr. Chairman, Katie Koba, Director of the Department of Agriculture. With me is Roger Huffman, who's Administrator of our Animal Health and Identification Division, who can tell you anything you wanted to know about wildlife damage control.
You're on, Roger. Okay. Thank you. Roger Huffman, Administrator of the Animal Health and ID Division. And Chair Messerly, Representative Johnson, the as you can see, the combined funding covers these 24 counties, and these agents deal with all of those species that you're talking about, the geese, the skunks, the beavers, the cougars, the bears, the whole gamut. They're not precluded from responding to you because they say, well, I'm on this particular money today or doing this. So they do all of the wildlife species that are causing problems and rodents. But if you was actually to get down that this money needs to be spent with ORS Statute 610 specifically, and it does narrowly define what a predator is, which is basically coyotes, rodents, and those kind of species. Feral pigs now are included in that. And but again, these same people that are getting this money are going to respond to those wildlife issues regardless of wildlife species. They'll just be working on one of these other funding sources.
Senator Dukes?
You say the people who receive this money, who would that be?
Chair Messerly, Senator Dukes. This all goes to Wildlife Services, USDA Wildlife Services Program, and then they hire the and pay for the agents that are in these 24 counties. And so that's with all these cooperative agreements and this mix of money and the different agencies that have different animals that they have control over, you might say statutorily, that allows these agents to respond to all of those wildlife issues.
So we actually give money to a federal entity to help us control our damage.
Chair Messerly, Senator Dukes, actually the statute ORS 610 requires that any money given to the Department of Ag must be spent in cooperation with USDA Wildlife Services cooperatively to deal with these issues.
You mentioned 24 counties. What are the other 12 counties? Are there only 24 counties that participate in this program?
Chair Messerly, Senator Dukes, the other 12 counties have some options. Some of them have private people that they pay. They also cost share private trappers. Some of them also actually contract with to have a wildlife service agent in another county come in and work on an hourly basis in that county for specific problems. So there is some drift out of these counties, but they are, I should say, use of these agents from other counties into those counties that don't have a constantly funded program. And some of these actually counties only are funded at a half-time position. So there might be one body or two counties in some cases. And there's other counties that have two particular, like Malheur County, for example, and Douglas County each have two individuals in them because of the size and the scope.
Thank you.
Any questions? Please ask more questions. The chair's not here, and I don't know what he wants to do.
Well, we could move to the next package.
We could tell you a story about buffalo on the loose.
Actually, Madam Chair, I do have a question. Recently in our local paper up in Columbia County, we had a death of a bear, a little bitty bear. How would that work? Is that done by the sheriff's office, or is it in consultation with your office when an animal like that comes into town? I mean, this thing was a little baby bear.
Senator Messerly, Representative Johnson, actually jurisdiction of bears and cougars is under Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And so the local biologist and the local law enforcement, of course, law enforcement would deal with it if it was a public safety issue. But generally, what to do with that bear is Department of Fish and Wildlife would guide that decision.
Thank you.
Any other questions? What are your wishes?
Mr. Chair, my concern at this point, now that I think I understand it a little bit better, is mostly that it's almost $500 million in general, or $500,000, excuse me, let's get away from, or the zeros get away from me, in general fund. And I guess I'd like to see how far we can work all of this and then have a discussion about what's left. It doesn't sound like
a bad thing,
although it's not in the co-chair's budget and it's not in the governor's budget, and it's general fund.
Mr. Chair, if I could, Senator Dukes, the add back is included in the co-chair's budget. It is assumed in the co-chair's budget at this point.
At this point, so it's not where they started, it's where they've agreed
it's
to
where, go. Yeah, the co-chair's budget that was issued a month or so ago, and as it says in the text, the LFO adjustments made to implement the co-chair budget, which reverses the elimination of the pass-through payments. So they have included that in their budget that was released.
This is extremely important, not only to our livestock industries, but others as well. And it's my intention to move this out at some point, and I prefer to do it today. However, obviously, if we don't have enough votes, we're not going to do it.
I think, Mr. Chair, the point I'm trying to make is that there are a number of really important programs, and I hope we can reach consensus on those sooner rather than later.
So, Senator, you do not want to move this budget this time, I take it.
That's true. I hope that I can support it at a later date. Okay. Except for maybe the skunks. I still think you give them a hard trap and they're on their own.
That's a minor part of the program.
I assumed it was. I speak as someone who has lived with skunks. It was not pleasant.
Well, let's move on to the next item.
Mr. Chairman of the Committee, number two, food safety item L, is LFO Adjustment Package 008, which is the food safety fund shift. Yesterday, when we were discussing this item, there was some discussion about the cash flow and how this fund shift would play into the future needs for funding for the program. I have, as you can see, updated, not the text, updated the number, to change the shift to 600,000, so reducing the shift by 100,000. This is partially done to help the cash flow, but it was mostly done in response to another change that you'll see in the next package on rent for the laboratory services program, in which we needed to add some general fund and some other funds, and with the fund shift at the 700 level, it was make it very difficult to support the $55,729 of other funds increased need because of rent increases. The real issue at this point is this fund shift will provide a sufficient ending balance for the 0305 biennium of about $1.7 million or 5 months of expenditures. The problem is simply a timing of when the department could then increase the fees during the 0507 biennium. There is a statutory cap, and there's a tiered system of fees. The highest payers are at that statutory cap now. There are a number of, in the tier, people who pay a lower fee that are not up to that statutory cap of $750. So the department would need to go in and have that statutory cap increase next legislative session, which shouldn't be a problem. The real problem is that this fee is paid once a year, and it's paid in June for the next fiscal year. So even if they could get the legislation through in 05, the time to promulgate rules, there just probably wouldn't be enough time to get the fee raised for their June 05 payment, which means that then their cash on hand would have to last until the June 06, at which time they could increase the fee and realize the revenue. If they were to do that, it would push the ending balance down in at the end of June of 06 to just under $700,000, because they are spending down the dollars. That's just a little bit more than 2 months of ending balance. So the department has some concerns not in the 0305 biennium, but in the 0507 biennium and their ability to raise fees. In discussions with the department, we try to point out that there are some other expenditure reliefs on the horizon. For example, this expenditure analysis doesn't take into account any purse savings the department would realize. There are a number of positions in the department that are currently be paid at the highest step, and there's some probability that at least a few would retire and be replaced by lower paid persons. But and those are not calculated into the expenditure estimates, but it still would be a significantly lower ending balance than the department would like, and which frankly is prudent of at least 3 months. Therefore, what the department would propose is to, during the 1 year when they can't increase the statutory fee, for example, then for the 0506 payment, they would increase some of the middle tier folks enough to add another month or so of expenditures to get to that 3 months. Then they would get the statutory increase and increase the folks that are at the highest portion of the scale, of the pay scale. So if you were to do this level, that would be the likely outcome, that for the fiscal year beginning July of 05, the department would raise the licenses on some of the payees that are in the middle of the scale, and then balance that out the preceding year and in future years when they had the ability to statutorily change the scale. If the subcommittee is not comfortable with that level, as again I say, that there is the ability for this current biennium or this coming biennium to have a sufficient ending balance, there's also the possibility the department could add a package during budget development for next session to request general fund as a bridge for that 1 year before they could reach that cap. So they could either ask for some general fund, increase the fees one step in the interim for that first year of the fiscal year, and then increase all the fees, the second year of the fiscal year for 0507. Or perhaps they could do some kind of prorate change because of when the fees would get, when they could change the statutory fee and increase them January 1 and do a prorated increase across the board for that particular fiscal year. But if you're not comfortable with leaving the 2 months in the 0506, I'm sure the agency would like the green light to go ahead and raise some of the fees in the interim until they got that fee increase through the assembly. Actually, they would likely have just about gotten the fee increase through the assembly at that point. The statutory cap, they just wouldn't be able to implement the statutory cap that first fiscal year of the biennium.
Mr. Chair, the consideration with the timing on fee increases, could that be mitigated by using an emergency rule rather than the regular rulemaking process?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, the department would probably be better to speak to that. But the AG has, I've been informed, had some difficulty, you know, allowing those emergency rules in the past. Although if they already had a bill passed and the legislature had shown its intent to raise the cap, I mean, that maybe, I'm not sure how that would play into mitigating the concerns of the AG, because the legislature spoke and said that they were allowing the cap to be increased. But perhaps the department would like to speak to that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, Katie Koba, Department of Agriculture. I'm going to have Lisa Hansen address that. We've had some experience recently with temporary rules around pesticide use reporting system, and so I think she has a pretty good sense of what we think we can get the AG to agree to and what probably wouldn't fly.
For the record, Lisa Hansen, Assistant Director with the Department of Agriculture. Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, there are specific criteria typically that we have to meet to constitute a temporary or an emergency rule. And there were several things surrounding the pesticide use reporting situation that allowed us to promulgate the temporary rule, and the funding issue was just one of them. And so it took several. I believe it would be a stretch to get them to allow us to use the fee issue alone to move a temporary rule forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I also like to point out that this really is going to be an issue in the 0507 biennium. Mm-hmm. And so if the subcommittee were interested in proceeding with a shift at the 600,000 level, likely the problem would be in the first year of that, of the 0507 biennium. And the department could, if they had need, approach the emergency board for general fund during that interim of 0507, if they saw that their cash, if the 2 months was definitely not going to be enough to allow operation of the program. Or the subcommittee could certainly back off some of the fund shift amount, or consider the department's request to raise the fees in the interim before they still have the authority to raise those fees, because they wouldn't be at the cap. But then they would, the subsequent year of the 0507 biennium, raise the fees on the highest persons in the tier of fees.
Senator Morgan?
Well, I'm wondering here, I don't know that it would be very prudent, given the fiscal situation that we're in, to put the department in a place where they would be relying on general fund to bridge the gap here. So I would, first of all, be in favor of trying to find some kind of an alternative here that didn't involve them having to ask for general fund. So given that, then are we in a position where if that is a consideration, then the most prudent thing to do is to not fund shift from the $100,000 out, but fund shift some lesser amount of money, or not fund shift any money? Is that the most reasonable option?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, the really you would have two options at this point. You could back off the amount of the fund shift from $600,000 to maybe $300,000, or you could give the department your okay with raising the fees for the fiscal year would be fiscal year 06, the first year of the 05-07 biennium, is when they would need to raise the fees for that particular year, the middle range of fees, and then the subsequent year raise the upper tier of fees.
Do we have any way right now of approximating what the dynamics of the fee increase would be if we did that in the mid-range?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, we can just walk through you quickly the chart that shows the gross annual sales and what the fee is. These fees have not been raised, I believe, since 1987.
That's correct.
So the fees have been in place for quite some time. I think also the thing to remember is those that are at the lower end of the gross annual sales, raising those fees does not generate a whole lot of money as opposed to the upper end where we are currently at the cap.
So does raising the mid-level of fees bridge the funding gap if we do the full shift?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, at the $600,000 level that we're talking about, we would need to raise the everything but the cap level, so the highest fee. We would need to raise those certainly in the first year of the 05-07 biennium, and there is a chance, and I think we would have to monitor what's happening very closely and stay in touch with fiscal staff, but there's a chance that we may have to raise those fees in order to collect them, basically raise them in 04 to collect into the 05 biennium.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, there's one more solution that just occurred to me. You also have in front of you the fee ratification bill for the department, Senate Bill 5502. If it was the subcommittee's pleasure, you could include an amendment in that bill that allowed that raised the maximum limit on the fee effective for the first year of the biennium, thus alleviating the timing issue, allowing the department to institute a fair scale of fees for all fee payers and implement that fee increase in a timely manner for the second year, for the both years of the 05-07 biennium.
That's interesting.
That sounds like fun.
Hey, I would still like to try to get my hands around what we're talking about dollar-wise here in the increases to keep the program solvent.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, can I just bring this? I think it's better for you to see it. Can I just bring this document up to you? I mean, it's pretty rough, but
Sure, I can make some copies. How about if we just let's go through it. Mr. Chair, can you
Who pays these fees? Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, the fees are paid by those that we inspect. So it's food processing facilities, it's dairy facilities, it's grocery stores. Lisa can add the ones that I've missed. But basically, we inspect all facilities that are not restaurants. The health division covers restaurants.
Has there been any legwork done in going to the fee payers and talking about fee increases?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, to date there has not been any legwork done initially. We've known that we would be looking at a fee increase in the near future, had anticipated working that during the new biennium and planning to put a package forward for the 05 session. So this is a little earlier with the fund shift than what we had anticipated previously.
It just didn't expect us to pay out on them.
Yeah. Okay. And then if we don't do the fund shift, then there is an issue with the Food Innovation Center. Is that where I'm kind of at loss here about how the Food Innovation Center rent got introduced into this discussion?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, it would probably be best to have Paul explain that when he comes back, but kind of very generic summary. In the Food Innovations Facility is housed both our marketing staff and our lab facilities, our regulatory lab and our export service center. So the two combined became the Food Innovation Center rent. So the lab has a portion of the rent obligation, and the two primary sources of revenue for our regulatory lab are the food safety program and our pesticides program. So some of the fees that are generated from the license fees then go to pay the lab work that is done. So basically what you've got on the far left, the top section is the fees on processing facilities and grocery stores. So you've got the gross annual sales amount, the current license fee, and what we had initially talked about in terms of going to what they proposed license fee structure in 05-07. You can see there that the cap would move from... We would propose to increase the top amount of fee from $750 to $1,000. I think down below you would see that we would probably propose a top limit cap at $1,500 to give further options in the future if we needed to expand fees. Which
so this schedule here would be $731,000.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, and that would be to replace all the $700,000, and I'm not sure that it would be necessary to replace all the $700,000. They probably could just replace some portion of that to maintain a particular ending balance. And I believe when we had discussed this earlier, and the department was also looking at maybe revamping this whole tier so that you had perhaps a little bit more equitable distribution between gross sales, because $10,000 is not that large of gross sales currently, and maybe adding a higher tier that only persons make, you know, with gross sales of a certain amount, even higher than that, paid the very, very top fee. So, I mean, you could raise the cap and allow the department to the time to work out an equitable fee structure, and give direction that the fee structure were to be to maintain a minimum 6-month ending balance, and not to necessarily replace the whole amount of dollars shifted.
Well, do they need a 6-month ending balance, or do they need it to be somewhere in the 3 to 6 month range?
I think 3 to 6 month range is the optimum that we always talk about. If you would prefer, you could certainly go for 3 months or 4 months ending balance.
Mm-hmm. What would be the consideration between requesting a 4-month ending balance and a 6-month ending balance? What are the draws on the...
Usually it's cash flow. And in instances like this is where you would usually see a 6-month ending balance, because they have the fee that comes in one time a year. When you have programs that have fees that come in regularly, you don't need to have the same type of ending balance, because you don't have the same changes in revenue that you do in a program where you have an annual license fee.
Well, in other granted there are situations where the revenue is a lot lower than this, but in some of the other funded commissions that we've done, they license biennially once every 2 years, and then we've been having a high-end ending balance for those. But for agencies that license annually, there's usually just one time a year when the cash flow is at its lowest. And I would think that, and I don't know, I would think that there would be less than a 6-month ending balance that would be needed to maintain cash flow needs. Is it? Do we have any kind of a cash flow analysis for the ending balance that's in here now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, not necessarily cash flow analysis that shows month by month expenditures. We have just something that's been a kind of a fiscal year that shows drawing down the reserve. And really the issue here is that they've been drawing down this reserve over time for quite a while. So they haven't had necessarily a problem with cash flow because they have the reserve. It's when we're getting into where they spend down the reserve to a point where they need to have some stability and an ending balance that really discussion centers around. If you would prefer that they hold a 3-month ending balance, I think that that's certainly within your purview to do that.
Okay, and just for personal clarity again, if we fund, what would be
the fund shift level that we could do that would leave them with a reasonable ending balance to get them through 05-07? Would that be zero fund shift?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, no, I believe that would probably be more in the tune of $300,000.
Okay.
So half, because they right now they assume that they need a little bit more than $300,000 for per month expenditures. So that if they would have 2 months, then if you added $300,000, that would be 3 months. And I think that that's in our discussions. That was what they were talking about, raising the fees in the interim to capture about $300,000. So I believe if you backed it down from the fund shift from $600,000 to $300,000. That would be allowable, and I think that we would still may want to revisit with the co-chairs if we were to go to that level of change in the general fund reductions in this agency to see if it still fit in their targets, because they were okay with the budget as proposed with a $700,000 fund shift. And as you know, we didn't act on the shellfish license either. I believe it's your staff's opinion that the shellfish license won't realize the kind of savings the co-chairs were counting on either. So that is going in the wrong direction as well. So if you were to go too much farther below $600,000, I think that we would probably want to visit and at least make sure the co-chairs were okay with that.
I think you should send your sub-chair in there to deal with the co-chairs. So, the concern that I have is, first of all, having the or charging the department with going out and raising fees without having gone to the fee payers and gotten explained it and gotten some kind of buy-in, I think is not the most the best thing to set the department up having to do. And I recommend, I recognize that we have very strict guidelines that we have to come in under. So what you're saying, though, is other than raising fees, there...
Again, the fees would not be need to be increased for this biennium. The fee increase that would have to occur in 05-07.
But we would have to give the department the authority to go ahead and implement the fee increase and then come back and have it ratified in 05-07.
Well, yes, Mr. Chair, that's, and Representative Morgan, that's right. They actually have the authority now. They could, if they wanted to, do that through administrative rule and then have it ratified.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I just need to make sure that you realize part of the reason for an ending balance is if we have some kind of outbreak in the system.
Unforeseen.
To address.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason we'd like to have a bit of a cushion. So we were thinking certainly short term, and we would hope timing wise we would not have an outbreak from the time that we would need to bump up, kind of compress the fees to carry us over. But if we do have an outbreak and we don't have a sufficient ending balance, then you probably see us back at the emergency board.
I am also concerned about the fee payers not being notified, but I know some of them have, because I've heard from some of the lobby. They've all been informed or could see this coming, I don't know.
Well, Mr. Chair, there's not been any kind of formal process, but I also think the industry is represented in this building and knows leadership in the various industries certainly know the budget situation that you're in, and I think the notion of us exploring a fee increase would not come as a surprise to them. We have not initiated any kind of formal process to have that conversation.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, just to probably clarify, even if you took no action to fund SHIP, you probably would likely have to raise the fees in 05-07 regardless. Just because of the way their revenue has been showing. So it's again, even if you took no action to fund SHIP, they would still have to raise the fees in 05-07 or have the expenditures backfilled with general fund.
Yeah.
I guess I want to get some more feedback from the department. My sense is that the fee payers would not be blindsided by this. Is that a fair statement?
Mr. Chairman, obviously you're putting me on the spot. I would agree with you that blindsided would not be something that I would expect them to be. that they would, like I said, not be surprised that we would have to have a discussion about an increase.
Mr. Chair, what's your sense if you were to have a $600,000 ending balance? I mean, that even makes me a little nervous. If you get money once a year, so you have no other ability to get it throughout the year. And, I mean, maybe they're little ones, but I see some of these places going out of business, so I assume there's a there are fewer fees coming in, and one good E. coli outbreak got to take care of. What you got going here? I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure that 3 months maybe is enough. And I'm thinking that maybe we dipped into a well here that wasn't as deep as we thought it was. Maybe add to that well. I know that causes other problems, but...
We are between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I mean, if they have to raise them in 0507, that's an 0507 discussion. We can put that one off until then. But to force an agency into a situation, because they have an ending balance, they've been prudent, they've done what they're supposed to do, and because we've got a problem, we're going to, you know, yanking out so much of their general fund that we knowingly may be forcing them into a problem doesn't seem like prudent budgeting to me. I mean, I think either we hold it over a day and go have a talk with those folks who represent the people who will be paying this and see if they're okay and write an amendment into the budget that says go ahead and do it, or we don't take as much out of their ending balance. I don't know.
Regardless, we need to have a talk with the co-chairs.
Well, and I think that the point is not lost, that the agency is going to have to raise fees anyway. And so what we're doing with the fund shift is pushing the limit up on the increase and not really impacting the time frame that it will take place in, but impacting the amount.
Well, we may be forcing them to do it twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the other piece of this is that the agency appears to have behaved responsibly and reasonably in a timeline that anticipated us not taking this money. And I think there's something to be said for rewarding good agency behavior and not being as aggressive as perhaps we're contemplating being here. But I agree with the chair. At a minimum, there should be a consultation.
Let's hold this and get some clarification.
We're really making progress.
We're doing well so far.
Is this the easy stuff we should do here?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the next one probably is an easy one that you could do. This is item M. It's listed as LFO Adjustment Package 009. It's really part of Package 401. When the agency submitted an increase, a request for increased general fund for rent increases at the Innovation Center, at the Food Innovation Center, that package was put just in the Agricultural Development Program. And you'll see at the bottom of this page is Package 401, the Food Innovation Center. That's where the money was placed. Upon conversation with the agency, actually, a good portion of that rent increase is attributable to the Laboratory Services Program, which is co-located with the Marketing Division in the Food Innovation Center, and should be more correctly placed under the Food Safety Program, where the expenditures for the Laboratory Services Program are located. And therefore, LFO is recommending not a complete general fund transfer of this package. Because the Laboratory Services funding is split between general fund, other funds, and federal funds, LFO is recommending an increase in general fund of $99,985, an increase of other funds of $55,729, an increase in federal funds of $8,195. And again, this is the representative portion of the fee increase for the Laboratory Services Program. That is the same funding split that is currently used to fund the rent in the program. And LFO would recommend that if you increase the allowance for increased rent at the Food Innovation Center, you use the same fund split as currently being used to pay rent and not just allow all general fund to be shifted. And this, again, this is in relation to the package that you see at the bottom of this page 2, which is the package 401, and you see the negative general fund being reduced 163,909. And again, one reason why the initial back LFO recommends backing off from $700,000 fund shift to $600,000 is because a portion of this is paid from the fees, and realizing that would cause problems. We recommended shifting less general fund, leaving some funds in the program to pay this increased rent of $55,729, with the remainder helping with the ending balance problem that they'll have in the future.
So might I just try to make this for my own personal clarification? What we're doing then is, instead of spending the entire $164,000 in general fund, we are going to actually just use under $100,000 general fund, just about $56,000 in other funds and about $8,000 in federal funds to accomplish the same thing, allowing us to put the difference between $99,000 and $164,000 back in the kitty. I get it.
And so,
which will help us out on our other
$70,000 problem.
Mr. Chair, just for clarification for my purposes, since I don't have Paul's piece of paper, so there's still some of the general fund that stays in the Ag Development and Marketing
right.
Division.
The difference between the 163,909 and the 249,886, that's the portion of that is general fund and should remain general fund because the marketing program, as you know, is primarily or almost all general fund, the agricultural marketing program, which is one reason why it is usually looked at when general fund needs to be reduced in the department, because it's one of, if not the only, purely general fund program the department has.
Okay.
In the past, the department had been keeping positions vacant, a position vacant in the marketing program to fund the rent because it was never budgeted correctly. In the governor's budget, a vacant position is eliminated, and in essence, the funding transferred into the rent column. So in the governor's balanced budget, there was an offset with a reduction of a position that, if you look at the spreadsheet, on page 20 of 25, you'll see an 090 package that reduced general fund by $139,237, eliminating one of the three vacant positions in the ag marketing program.
So, Mr. Sievert, then, if the committee chooses to accept LFO's recommendation on M, which is package 009, then we will also need to adopt the revised package 401 to balance it out.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee approve the LFO recommendation for adjustment package 009 as it relates to the Food Innovation Center rent and policy package 401 as it relates to the Food Innovation Center rent.
You have heard the motion. Further discussion of the motion?
And just ciphering.
Is there objection?
I'm fine.
I can't help myself, but yesterday and today when we were talking about this, the little ditty kept going through my head, you must pay the rent.
Well, since we've got a roll going here, let's move on.
Okay.
take those keys we have, you know.
Number 3, natural resources. Item B is LFO adjustment package 002, vacant position adjustment. We had considerable discussion yesterday about this package, as this includes the pesticide use reporting system positions, the 6 positions that are currently vacant, as they were phased in the 0103 budget, and parts of the savings in 0103 were used to meet general fund reductions during special sessions. And the governor's balanced budget included funding for the positions because they roll up to a full 24 months automatically in the budget, but as you know, did not provide money to complete the system. The change is, as we discussed yesterday, the amount of general fund that is attributable to the pesticide use reporting system positions is of the $736,331, $504,031 is attributable to the pesticide use reporting positions.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair?
I'd
be happy to deal with the 21 positions if that helps. I mean, I want to keep the pesticide use reporting positions here in the budget, so I guess. But there are 21 other positions that I'd be happy to move to eliminate if that helps.
I don't know what the wish of the committee. I think that I'd be willing to move the package and deal with this at another time, maybe, but I don't want to break this package up this time. No.
Okay.
Number four, agricultural development. Item B is the LFO adjustment package 002, again, vacant positions. There were two of the 63 vacant positions that are being recommended for elimination that were of question yesterday, and those relate to the agricultural marketing program and account for all the general fund savings in this package. Those two positions do. Having discussions with the department, I believe I understand what happened, and I will attempt to explain how there are two vacant positions. There are currently two vacant full-time positions in this program. Well, one of those positions has been held vacant for a majority of the biennium 0103 to generate savings to meet the statewide general fund shortfall. The other position was vacant because the department decided to refocus its efforts on the China market, and therefore laid off a full-time position that was geared more towards Mexico, the Mexico market. That position was laid off, and they hired a person for the China market. Unfortunately, there was another vacant position that you don't see here, that it was a half-time vacant position that was, at that point, or previous to when the department decided to make this change, the China position, but it was half-time FTE. And it, too, was targeted for elimination at the end of this biennium as the funding was pulled out. The department, when they filled that position, that need for the China market, slotted the person they hired into the old China position, which is the half-time FTE. Even though they had laid off the full-time position, which was for the Mexico market, they had mistakenly targeted it, slotted it into the half-time position, and a position to make things even more difficult, which is scheduled to be eliminated at the end of this biennium because it was abolished during one of the special sessions. So technically, there are two vacant positions in this program, and those are on the books as vacant. But in reality, one of those was to be filled for the China market, and did I do a decent job explaining what happened?
Much better than I could have
done.
So, yeah, you have one position that was a person in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Another position, what was that person doing?
The other position, the other full-time position, I would have to defer to the department.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, the other full-time position was a marketing services manager. She did a lot of publications work for us as well as focus on the U.S. market.
So that was a management position domestically.
And she chose to leave the department. She was not laid off.
Okay,
so that
she's
was a
still
true
there.
Vacant. No, she left the agency.
She
took a job outside of state government, so that became a
so
true
that's
vacant
a vacancy
position.
Also.
And the department held that position vacant to generate savings during 2001-03.
Does the department have other people doing marketing in China right now, besides this person that thinks they're full-time and is really half-time?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, no, we do not.
Okay, so there's only one person. Okay.
And the other thing I should point out for the committee is during the special sessions, we abolished another position in ag development that had been vacant for some time. We were using those savings to pay the rent. We just had that discussion. And then found out that we ended up abolishing this half-time position as well. So in special sessions, we abolished one and a half positions. Now we've got two vacant, but not two really vacant positions.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Coble, what I get confused about is where all these marketing people are scattered throughout state government. And I don't know whether or not you know the answer. Maybe LFO staff does. We've got people in OECDD doing marketing, but I don't know exactly what they're marketing. We've got your ag marketing people, and I presume they're focused on ag. I'm just looking for some clarification of how many folks we need scattered through how many departments to sell what to who.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, perhaps I can take an initial stab at that. We, when we work on marketing efforts, and particularly surrounding, for example, a governor's trade mission, we pull together the state agencies that are involved in marketing. And basically it is our agency, it is Economic and Community Development Department, and then the Port of Portland, which is a quasi-state agency. And obviously they're focused on air service, marine service, and those kinds of things. So the division that we have between our agency and economic community development is the subject area. We do focus specifically on agricultural products, processed products, and those kinds of things, and OECDD has everything else. So they do have a China marketing person. We have a China marketing person. We communicate together in terms of where there are efforts that can be connected. But frankly, how you market agricultural products and how you market high-tech products is different. And it's different customers and it's a different network. But we do as best we can, and I think there's probably always room for improvement, coordinate our efforts.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure I understood you, Katie. There's one China person in OECDD because we've created and abolished so many offices in Shanghai, I've lost track of who we might have left behind.
That brings back bad memories. Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I'm glad you raised that because I do need to clarify that the state staff has one person in OECDD stateside located in Portland that works in China, and then OECDD has contracted with a company in China. They have contracted with a company in Mexico, and they have the budget for the state offices, which are in Japan, Taiwan, and Korea, are also in OECDD's budget. We, for example, will use the services of the Japan state office for ag marketing as well. So our Japanese trade manager will work with those people in promoting agricultural exports, and then those staff will also work with OECDD on other exports.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, kind of begs the question then if you can share with OECDD in capacity to market ag products in Japan, why doesn't that translate to China?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I'm not sure if I explained that completely well. We use the services of the state office, which is the staff that's located in Japan. So OECDD has a Japan marketing person, we have a Japan marketing person, and then we have the state trade office in Japan that both agencies
on
the ground
in Japan.
So you're
talking about physical location.
That's correct.
I understand. Thank you for the clarification.
If I'm following this correctly, that begs the question, do they share the same office in China?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Messerly, the Chinese market is still a little bit different for us. We have not used the services of the contract person in China because most of our efforts so far have been in the area of grass seed. And so we have worked primarily with the grass seed industry and the contacts that they have in China and the university system on the grass seed side. We'll probably do the same effort on the nursery side. Certainly, if the person on contract can help us, we would take advantage of that.
But this position is not developed to the point where you can... There's a position established then? They do have an office in Shanghai?
Mr. Chairman, it's not a... It's not an office like the office in Japan. It is a contract service. OECD, and to complicate it even further, the contract just went away. Yes, but it was a contract service, and I think the headquarters for this company was actually Hong Kong. So they contracted for specific services for this company to provide the state of Oregon.
I'm trying to get cut up to speed here. When I was there with Senator Yi a couple of years ago, it was set up to develop that office in Shanghai. So evidently that fell through too.
I think so. Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The Shanghai state office never materialized.
Okay. So what's your recommendation? Excuse me, Senator Dukes.
I kind of like to keep this position, if it's possible to do that, which may mean you having to add to the list of things you're going to go talk to the co-chairs about. I mean, aside from the fact that we've got a full-time person to a half-time job that doesn't exist, nonetheless, in this agency...
Isn't a half-time job that does exist?
No, this one got abolished.
So how will you find... Oh, the same for money till the end of the month.
Sometimes the less we know, the better. It got abolished back in...
I think it was
a special session, so...
An issue of timing and what was showing up in the system as a terms of a position that was available, and through all of the changes that we went through with special sessions, and it's basically a confused mess.
So does the funding for the position cease at the end of the fiscal year?
Chairman, Representative Morgan, the funding for the China position does go away at the end of this biennium because it is in a, that person is in a position that was abolished during the special session. So we have two vacant positions and a person whose position is going away.
He doesn't know
it
yet.
No, he doesn't.
He's watching the TV.
Does now.
Mr. Chair, if I could make a statement.
Sure.
I think that one of the challenges that we face in this biennium that is, I think, our biggest challenge is to try to get people back to work in the state of Oregon. And that we do that by selling our products overseas and getting the orders for people to get back to work to fulfill the orders. And I would be, I see this as one of the positions that's going to help us dig out of the hole that we're in. Now, what I'll go back to is I'll go back and talk about the pesticide use reporting system. Because there's a program where you've got six positions, and I believe that the general fund that it takes for those six positions is over $500,000. Those positions don't get anybody to work in the state of Oregon, and they don't create any wealth here, and they don't dig us out of the hole that we're in. What they do is add another level of bureaucracy onto what the ag community has to deal with right now and what the small business community in the cities has to deal with. So if it was for me to make the decision, it would be a fairly easy one. I would be very willing to use money to do what I think we need to do as the legislature in this session and develop jobs by developing our market capabilities in the markets that we know we can sell our products in. And back off on this regulatory burden that we're putting on the ag community and the small business community to pay for it.
Let me ask you a question, Katie. Some of the seed companies do have offices in China. Is that not right?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Explain for the committee and myself as well what this position does when we already have companies, U.S. companies marketing over there.
Mr. Chair, it's a good question and one that I always appreciate the opportunity to at least attempt to address with members of the legislature. Marketing in China is something that all of us sitting in this room would say is definitely foreign. Marketing in China is different than marketing in the United States, and when you approach particularly an Asian market, believe it or not, a government official has much higher standing than someone from the business community. And so private businesses can do an effort in those markets, and they do a great effort, but they will get to a point where they can't proceed any farther without government's assistance. And so it really is a partnership in that market between government and the private sector and trying to maximize the product, Oregon product, that we can move into that market. We've done, along with the industry and the university system, Oregon State University, spent decades in the Chinese market and was making progress up until the Tiananmen Square incident, and then things kind of came to a halt. In the last decade, roughly, those efforts have moved forward again, and obviously we see great opportunity with the upcoming Summer Olympics of 2008 in Beijing and the focus in China on beautification of the city and the opportunities for both grass seed and for Oregon nursery products in that market, hence the trade mission that the governor took early in his tenure to China for that very reason. Certainly none of us expected the SARS outbreak, and we're all trying to figure out how to deal with that, but that partnership really is critical, and the doors that government can open are at the higher level than what business can do, and business really does need government in those markets.
You beg another question. The last time I was in China, there was discussion about the Olympics coming. And the concern was that they're never going to get the air quality to the point that the athletes are going to be willing to go to China. Are they making progress on that? I mean, substantial progress on it?
Well, Mr. Chair, my first trip to China was in March, and so I have no reference point. But at that time, I didn't think the air quality was very good. The amount of money that they're putting into this effort in China is just beyond anything I think we would ever do in the United States. They're just putting hundreds of millions of dollars into it, and so they are certainly determined to do that. We view China, Taiwan, potentially Mexico again as future markets for Oregon in environmental services. Grass seed is an example in terms of dealing with erosion control, and certainly some of the technical services that we have in Oregon to be able to share with those countries. There's a lot of work to be done, but they seem committed to doing it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't really anticipate doing this, but I would like to respond on the pesticide use reporting system. Oregon has a long history of being proud of its clean water and its clean air and its clean beaches and its clean roadsides and all of those sorts of things. And I probably come at this from somewhat of the perspective of someone who lives at the mouth of the largest river in Oregon, a river that is fed by one of the most polluted rivers in the world, or in the nation, certainly. And I represent a lot of businesses, small businesses, who make their living from that river. And we have to keep it clean or they get out of business. And those jobs are just as important to me as any other job in the state. I don't represent anybody who grows grass seed, but I'm happy to keep them growing grass seed as much as they can do within the regulations that we've set up in this state, and to try to fund a position to help them ship it to wherever in the world we think wants to buy our grass seed. And so it's not from any proprietary position that I support that position. I think it's good for Oregon. But when all is said and done, when the budget is finished this year, I would like it to be good for all of Oregon. And that includes those of us who live down at the mouth of the river, where everybody else wants to feed things to. I don't want to penalize anyone. I just want to make sure that we can keep our waters clean, that we can, I mean, we, when they're not clean, we don't cite new business on them. My constituents get told every so often which species of fish, if they want to fish for, they can fish for, but they ought to throw them back and not eat them because of what's going on in there. And I know that in Portland they have put warning signs up every so often. And they put them in multiple languages, hoping that they'll catch all the languages that people speak who fish there. And that's not okay. So, again, I want a budget that works for all of Oregon and all of Oregon's businesses. So I'm happy to support that if you can find a way to get the co-chairs to cut loose a little bit. But, and I think it's unfortunate that we ended up in the position that we did because everybody, sounds to me, was acting in good faith. And I wouldn't want to be that poor person who's out there.
At his desk right now.
And I would actually wonder if the money is there. You will all work out the reporting, I mean, you know, the accounting system, but if it was cut back in, say, Special Session 5, that money may actually be gone for that halftime position. So, and I would be happy to try to participate in keeping that person. I think with the Department of Ag, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on any other agency, but at least we know what they're marketing. And we know that it has positive effects. And sometimes with other agencies, I'm not sure.
Any other discussion? I think the co-chairs are going to kill me when I go in to see them.
Mr. Chairman,
would you indulge me to respond to Representative Duke's comments?
Sure. Go ahead.
But, again, with great respect to my colleague, because we've walked a lot of miles down the path together, but I would submit to you that implementing the pesticide use reporting system right now, and I'm talking about pushing it out in time versus implementing it right now, that the issues that you raise about people not being able to eat the fish that are caught in the Columbia River slough are issues that the pesticide use reporting system isn't going to make any different. Those are issues that are related to toxic waste that's been dumped in that area back in time. And the us making a record of application of pesticides isn't going to change the fact that those signs have to be up there and that those people have to not eat the fish and that we have to continue to communicate that to them very vigorously. That's going to happen no matter what happens. The point that I'm trying to make is in terms of the benefit that the state is going to derive for the next biennium over having a process where we're building a database about who is applying what where, I think that the benefit derived from that can be vastly overridden by taking the money that we're going to put into this program, which is a sizable investment of general fund, and making better use of it for the situation that we're in. And by that I mean doing things that will help create jobs or doing things that will keep kids in school for a full school year or doing things that will help keep elderly people in prescription coverage or in care homes. And in my estimation, the benefit derived from using the money in those ways far overweighs putting it in this program right now.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the last item, number 5 in special programs, is item G. And this is package 451, Oregon County Fair account distribution. And LFO was recommending approval of this package as modified. Current law requires that 90% of the interest in this account be paid beginning July 1 of 03. And so the department's budget included a package to distribute this interest. As part of the agreement on reducing the amount of money that's paid to county fairs for state support this biennium, we are recommending a change to the law that would distribute all the monies in this account to help fund county fairs this biennium and then close the account. This account was created in 1995 as essentially a seedling, I think, to fund county fairs in the future. And with the addition of the dedication of lottery dollars now in statute, really this account is has run its useful life. And so the folks who deal with the county fairs have agreed to the elimination of the account and distributing all the money, and then backing off the amount of lottery funds this one time by that amount, by about another $100,000. So that will allow the county fairs to still only have a net reduction of $500,000 in support, but would allow you to realize $600,000 in lottery fund savings by distributing all these monies this time and closing the account. So it's it allows you to add another $100,000, so to speak, to the kitty, and get this account off the books.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to make sure that I understand what we're talking about, because last session there was the initiative to get additional money to county fairs, which I think a number of us supported vigorously. Excuse me, that amounted to $3,164,100,000. Is this part of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, no, this is a completely different account. This is called the Oregon County Fair account. What you're referring to is the County Fair account, which was established
Let me not get lost in the dark woods of semantics and come directly to the point. It seems while we're scouring this budget, and I mean scouring this budget, looking for additional money to put back in the kitty, as Representative Morgan characterizes it, and I like that, is this an opportunity, absent the distribution, for us to get back $102,000? The point that I'm trying to make is we all went up the hill for county fairs to the tune of $3,100,000. I commend them again for stepping forward with the $500,000 reduction package. And what I'm trying to figure out is if this is found money over and above the $3,164,000, we end up making another what appears to be windfall distribution to county fairs.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I mean, it's true that you could amend a bill to just essentially take that money and deposit it in the general fund, but with this solution, you would actually distribute the money and still realize a savings of about the same amount of money, because what we would do is instead of reducing the lottery fund payment $500,000, you would recognize that they're going to get this extra $100,000 and reduce the lottery payment by $600,000.
The $500,000 plus the $102,000.
Exactly. So that you would still get the savings from this distribution. In essence, you capture this extra money and count it towards the funds that the state are going to provide for county fairs, in essence. And so while the net reduction is $500,000, you see $600,000 in savings, or a little bit more, because we've reduced the lottery allocation by an additional $102,000 in anticipation of the county fairs getting this little pot of money.
I'm with you right up until the point that we have spent $102,927, I presume divided by 36. And that money is now gone. And it helps fairs on the short term. But sometime out in the future, there is a reduction. And county fairs, in my experience, and the counties I represent, are always in trouble. And I don't object to... I don't think I object to the windfall now, but are we not putting off a problem out in the future?
The reduction in lottery funds would be for this biennium only. So it would be, that will be included in the lottery bill. There will be a stipulation that says that notwithstanding the ORS statute that relates to lottery county fairs getting $1.55 million plus a cost of living adjustment every biennium, that they would get $600,000 less than that. To the extent that this fund is no longer available to distribute interest, you're correct. But in the future, they would not have the little bit of money that would be coming off this $100,000, the interest that would be accruing every biennia that would be paid out by the department. So they are giving up the corpus of the fund now and foregoing the future benefit of interest on $100,000. I would just point out that I think the account was begun in 95. The department was scheduled to distribute about $40,000 in interest this biennium. So over 8 years, that was the accumulative interest. Obviously, with interest rates the way they are now, you're not going to realize near that kind of benefit. But the county fair folks have agreed to forego that kind of small increase in interest distribution in future years as part of the solution for the statewide problem this biennium. Does that make sense?
No, because it sounds like we're giving up 102 to gain 40.
We're giving up 102 to gain 102 in lottery dollars.
Okay.
And you lose 40.
And they would still distribute the 40. That's not changed. That was in the governor's balanced budget to distribute the 40. We are just distributing all the rest of the money in the account.
Okay.
And you should have the amendments in front of you that deal with House Bill 5062. They're one of the last pieces of information in your packet, along with the original bill. And a fiscal impact statement showing, again, just the distribution of the extra money from the account.
Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the county fairs were willing to give us $500,000 out of the lottery distribution that they now have in statute. And instead they're going to give us $600,000 of that, and we're going to give them the $102,000 out of this corpus. And so the loss is, assuming that distributions would have stayed approximately even, $40,000 out of the 0507 budget and the $40,000 in the biennium after that? No?
No, Mr.
The interest payments?
The $40,000 represents 8 years of interest. Because the statute said that they were not to distribute money until July 1 of 03 or until the account reached $40 million.
So about $5,000.
The account has not reached $40 million. The account's at about $154,000.
Gotcha. Okay. I'd like to ask John McCauley to come up
and
give us...
Idea.
John, you got us into this.
I think we had to ask staff to stop picking up rocks. Some of the moss underneath those rocks is a little...
Good afternoon, funny. Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I need a compass, too, to find my way through all of this. John McCauley, representing the Oregon Fairs Association. We had anticipated... Well, I guess we started with a number of all the monies that were potentially available to county fairs. That included the statutory amount, the amount that was in the governor's original balanced budget, which included the amount in the statute plus the $42,000 in interest earnings. We anticipated adding to that the corpus in this account that was set up in 1995 to give a number of what was potentially available to county fairs. And then our proposal was to subtract $500,000 from that. The proposal that we offered in writing was a little different in that it suggested taking this corpus, taking all of the interest, and reducing the amount of distribution to county fairs to come up with the net of $500,000. That was what we were understanding was being offered.
And if I might, just for my own clarification, the reduction from the lottery funding stream would be a one-time reduction. just to wash out
That's correct.
The revenue that would go into the county fair's pockets from dispersing.
That's correct. And it was and the proposal to offset the another 102 in the lottery was staff's understanding of the subcommittee's intent that the net reduction to county fairs be 500,000. And that's where we came up with if you distribute the 102,000, then you also take that 102,000 off the lottery dollars to have a net reduction of $500,000.
I was with you right up until the end. Mm-hmm. If the net reduction is $500,000, mm-hmm. you're giving them an additional 102 new money now.
Of other funds.
So the net reduction for this biennium ends up at 602,000. Lottery.
Exactly.
I think I got it, finally. Thank you.
Do we want to open a work session on 5062?
Well, let's do this first.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would move that the committee approve policy package 451 as it relates to the Oregon County Fair account distribution.
You've heard the motion. Is there a discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion? Motion carries. We will close the work session for 55, Senate Bill 5501. And are we ready to do 5062?
Certainly.
Open the work session on House Bill 5062.
Mr. Chair. Oh, do you want to do the presentation?
I was just going to say that you've already heard about the bill, and you should have the amendments in front of you and a fiscal impact statement. If you'd like, we did have the bill open for a public hearing. Would you like me to check just to see schedule if there's anyone signed up?
Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, while Mr. McCauley's in the room, I'm curious to know whether or not, under the way that this language was crafted back in the last session, the county fairs are all reporting as proscribed, and whether or not any of them have failed to be timely. And
Mr. Chair, John McCauley representing Oregon Fairs Association and Representative Johnson. The answer to that question is yes. The County Fair Commission was reconstituted actually last summer. All of the fairs submitted their reports in October of last year. They were reviewed by the County Fair Commission. The County Fair Commission communicated with the fairs to get all of the information that was required under the statute and is satisfied that that information was presented to them. I can tell you that it has stepped up a notch this year. In that first year of reporting, all of the fairs that did not have the necessary policies in place, and that was communicated to them by the County Fair Commission, along with samples of the kinds of policies that the commission thought were acceptable. And so it's anticipated that this year all of the fairs will specifically meet the requirements of the statute. And they are going to be evaluated. All of the reports required by the statute will be reviewed and evaluated by the County Fair Commission.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Margaret.
Mr. McCauley, while we have you captive up here, I'm assuming that you've had a chance to peruse the Dash 1 amendments. For the record, could you state the position of the county fairs with the Dash 1 amendments?
Certainly. Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, the Oregon Fairs Association supports the Dash 1 amendments that are before you, and consequently House Bill 5062 as it would be amended by the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay. Their discussion?
Is there anyone else signed up?
No
sign-ups. Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a motion, I would move the Dash 1 amendments in the House Bill 5062.
You heard the motion. Discussion? Objection? Motion carried.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Martin.
I would move House Bill 5062 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
You heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Carriers.
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 Do we want to wait and bring this with this budget or send it through on its own?
We can hold it and not put it on the floor if that's the wish of the subcommittee. But I'm not so sure that this is. You may want to get this in the process and getting through the works.
I'm concerned about getting money to fairs. I know ours struggle mightily, and it would be my preference to go ahead and send it through.
This way, they know.
Commissioner Grady, would you like? Do you want to make a comment? Or would you like to carry?
Well, Ben's I've been real quiet all carry.
What a guy.
Full and house. And you want to do the full and the house, and they'll carry this in. Committee members, I'd like to do House Bill 2254. We've got time, get a little time now. I'll open the work session, close the work session on the House Bill 5062, and open the work session on House Bill 2254.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Grady, House Bill 2254. Comes to you from the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources with a due pass recommendation. This is a bill that would increase the brand recording fees. These fees are set in statute, therefore they needed to have a policy bill to change the fee. You've already adopted the policy package that acknowledges the increase in revenue yesterday. And this bill simply is the implementation for that fee increase. And you can see the...
Any discussion, questions? Representative Johnson?
A conflict of interest. We have a recorded brand in the family.
Unless you're Representative Craig, you're there, Steve.
Mr. Chair, I don't own any cows. I would move House Bill 2254 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
You have heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion. Motion carries. And so, Representative Morgan will carry on the full and the house. And the house. And again, I will carry on the south. I think we've got to wait on that. With that, I'll close the work session on Article 2254. Mr. Siebert, what do we have in the future?
Mr. Chair, I believe you have tomorrow off.
Water resources.
I believe you have water resources Thursday. Move to Thursday, but you have tomorrow off. I can verify if I am wrong. I will make sure your offices are notified, but my understanding is there's no meeting tomorrow, and there will be a meeting Thursday to deal with the Water Resources Department.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that, we'll adjourn the committee.